Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to you. Welcome to those here in the sanctuary and to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or the week. The grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us worship God. We sing the hymn 63, hymn 63, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. The call to prayer comes from Psalm 79. But we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise. Let us pray. Almighty God, we enter your gates with praise this new morning. And with a deep sense of gratitude, we rejoice in your unfailing kindness to us. Since the beginning of time itself, you have watched over your people as a shepherd watches over his sheep. And in Jesus, our good shepherd, you have demonstrated your love and care for us. Lord God, your love sees failings and forgives. Your love feels pain and wipes away tears. Your love knows grief and comforts those who mourn. We confess that like errant sheep, there are times when we wander from the fold. We take for granted your protection, and instead of being guided by you, we trust in our own wisdom. Gracious God, you are good, and your faithfulness continues through all generations. Forgive us our sins, and with your help, enable us to be more loyal, faithful, and true, and to give of our very best in your service. These things we humbly ask through Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. And together as the one people, we say the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Welcome to David Loosley, who is deputising for Tony at the organ this morning. There'll be services in Eccles Court and Westerlands Care Home this coming Wednesday afternoon. An ecumenical service organised by Stirling Tasey Group will be held here in the church on Friday evening at 7:30. All will be welcome. The Reverend Dr. John Ferguson, Clerk to the Presbytery of Perth, hopes to be with us next Sunday to share in the service. He's going round different congregations in order to get to know people and for people to get to know him. So we hope John will be with us next Sunday morning. And then after the service, we'll have tea and coffee and a time of fellowship in the parish halls. And I do hope that as many as possible will come along and join us there. And just to tempt you a wee bit, there's going to be a table with jam and tablet for sale. So there you are. Please do come along next Sunday, firstly to the service and then to the tea afterwards. You'll be very welcome indeed. Volunteers to help tidy the grounds around the church are invited to meet a week on Tuesday at 1:30. A reminder that articles for the summer edition of the Parishioner should be submitted by the 12th of May. Now, finally, you'll get out of the church a wee bit quicker today, not because the sermon will be shorter, but because I've got to go to Bannockburn Allen, where I'm the interim moderator for a meeting of the congregation and then of the Kirk session. So forgive me for not going to the door after the service today. But you will get out that wee bit quicker, but I'll need to wait a wee bit longer before I get my lunch. I'm sure I'll enjoy it when I get it, even though it'll be myself that's making it. It's great what you can get out of a tin. Now, do you notice anything different in the church today? Can you see anything that's different? Yes? The shepherd's crook. Well done, Dot. Now, I've actually got two of them. There's another one here. Aren't they lovely? These were given to me by good friends over 5 or 6 years ago, and they've been beautifully crafted and shaped. It's really a work of art, isn't it, when you look at what some people can do. And these were actually crafted by two shepherds, and that makes them even more special. Now, not only are they nice to look at or to admire, but they have a purpose. If the shepherd was out in the hill and a sheep started to wander off or got into danger, then you could use the shepherd's crook in order to catch and rescue and retrieve the sheep that was wandering off or in danger. I wonder if I could try that as I go around the parish. I've not seen you at the church for a while. I think I would have quite a task in my hand. But anyway, the shepherd's work is a great work. Now, there's maybe not just so many shepherds around today as there once was. And there's certainly nowhere near the number of shepherds that there were in Jesus' time. Because in Jesus' time, being a shepherd was a typical occupation. A lot of people were shepherds, but it was not easy work. A shepherd had to lead the sheep, and the sheep would follow. And where would the shepherd lead the sheep to? Well, the shepherd would lead them to places where there was grass for them to graze on, or water to drink. And that was a very important task. The shepherd was there to lead the sheep. But there was something else. The shepherd was also there to protect the sheep. We're told that at night time, often the shepherd would put the sheep into a fold or pen that had three sides, but there wasn't a door, there wasn't a gate, and often the shepherd himself became the door, the gate. He would lie across the entrance, and that was for two reasons. It was to stop the sheep from wandering out, but it was also to stop wild animals from wandering in. So the shepherd's task was very, very important. There to lead and to guide the sheep, but also there to protect them. In Psalm 23, we read, "The Lord is my shepherd." And in John's Gospel, Jesus declared, "I am the good shepherd." And by saying that, Jesus was making it clear that he will lead and guide us through our lives. And also, he is there to protect us from harm. How blessed we are to have Jesus as our good shepherd. We worship God in the hymn 193, "God is love, his the care."
Thank you. first reading this morning is from Psalm 23 on page 463 of the Pew Bible. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack for nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me to waters where I may rest. He revives my spirit. For his name's sake, he guides me in the right paths. Even were I to walk through a valley of the deepest darkness, I should fear no harm, for you are with me. Your shepherd's staff and crook afford me comfort. You spread a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You have richly anointed my head with oil, and my cup brims over. Goodness and love unfailing will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord throughout the years to come. And from the Gospel according to John, in the New Testament at chapter 10, we'll read from verses 11 to 18. And that can be found on page 88 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired man, when he sees the wolf coming, abandons the sheep and runs away, because he is not the shepherd, and the sheep are not his. Then the wolf harries the flock and scatters the sheep. The man runs away because he is a hired man and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. As the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. But there are other sheep of mine, not belonging to this flock, I must lead as well, and they too will listen to my voice. There will then be one flock, one shepherd. The Father loves me because I lay down my life to receive it back again. No one takes it away from me. I am laying it down of my own free will. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to receive it back again. This charge I have received from my Father. Amen.
Thank you very much, Margaret, and welcome to you both. It's good to see you this morning. We sing the hymn 133, 133, Source and Sovereign, Rock and Cloud, 133.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that when we wander from you, you seek us out. That when we stumble and fall, you lift us up. And that when we falter or get lost, you call us by our name. Lord God, in Jesus, our Good Shepherd, you showed us there is no limit to your love and care. We rejoice that you are a God of infinite patience and goodness, and that you have time for each and every one of us, the people of your pasture. Good Shepherd, in your embrace, we find justice and affirmation. Root out the causes of inequality and hostility in the world. Guide the rulers of the nations. And may the knowledge of your unending love and care be a source of strength to all who today question their worth. Lord Jesus, in your embrace, the lost are found, the hungry are fed, and the humble lifted high. Bless your church throughout the world, and within our own denomination, raise up women and men as ministers of the gospel, and equip each and every one of us that using the gifts you have graciously given to us, we may gladly serve you, the one who laid down your life that we might live. Good Shepherd, in your embrace we find peace. We pray for those with difficult decisions to make. We pray for the lonely. We pray for those who are sick, and we pray for the bereaved. In our prayers today, we remember the family and friends of David Goodbrand, who has died aged 48, leaving behind his grieving wife Lisa, son David, and daughters Lucy and Lily. Gracious God, hold them and all who are in our thoughts in your loving arms and reassure them with your presence and comfort. Almighty God, you are our maker and we are the sheep of your pasture. Hear these our prayers and with them the silent prayers of our hearts. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We sing the hymn 551, 551, the lovely hymn, "In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear." Many shepherds in low-lying areas will have finished lambing by now. But for hill shepherds, the lambing season is in full swing. It's a busy time for them, with some working long hours each day and getting little sleep. Some, even when they do manage to get some rest, have cameras on their phone or in their home that enable them to see what's happening out in the lambing shed. It's tiring work and demanding, and it doesn't help if the weather's not good. But most would say it's also hugely rewarding. The image of Jesus as a shepherd is a familiar one, but Jesus was not the first person to claim that title for himself. When we turn to the pages of the Old Testament, we find the image of the shepherd is used to refer to the leaders of the people of Israel. God calls Moses when he is tending the flock of his father-in-law, and Moses is given a shepherd's staff or crook. David, believed to be the author of many of our Psalms, was a shepherd boy who was anointed by the tribes of Israel as their king, and at that point the words of the Lord were quoted, "You are to shepherd my people Israel and be their leader." And God himself is often referred to as a shepherd. Jacob, when on his deathbed, declared that God had been his shepherd all of his life. And the prophets proclaim God to be a shepherd too. In Isaiah, we read these lovely words, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." So the image of the shepherd had been around for a long time before Jesus applied it to himself. But what makes Jesus' image of the shepherd unique and special is what we read in the 10th chapter of John's Gospel. There is so much that one could say about this particular passage, but this morning I would like to share just a few thoughts which I hope and pray you will find helpful. Firstly, let us begin by observing how Jesus does not only describe himself as a shepherd, he declares, "I am the good shepherd." And to illustrate his point, he contrasts himself with the hired hand. Now, it was not unusual for shepherds to hire individuals to help them at certain times of the year, and some still do that today at lambing time. But in his teaching, Jesus contrasts the attitude of the shepherd with that of the hired hand. As long as things are going well, there's little difference between them. But when trouble comes along, the hired hand will often abandon the sheep and leave them on their own. Why should that be? Well, some would say the answer is the shepherd is born to his task. His life is interdependent with that of the sheep, but the hired hand life is not. and that impacts the care that they give. The shepherd will do absolutely anything to protect the sheep, but the hired hand, at the first sign of trouble, disappears. I remember with great affection my own doctor on Bute. He seemed to always be on call, and whenever anyone needed him, he would go to them, regardless of the time of day or night. I think it's a wee bit different today, isn't it? I'll say no more. But the doctor, he would go to the people, and as a result of sacrificing much, he was greatly respected. But he was greatly respected not only because of his knowledge and ability to help, but because of his warmth, his compassion, and his graciousness. He was a friend to all, a good doctor. And that's what we see in Jesus, the good shepherd. He loves us with a love that cannot be measured. He cares for us as if there was only one of us to care for. And because of that love and that care, he will never abandon us. On the contrary, he'll always be there for us. I am the good shepherd. Now, secondly, I want to draw your attention to what Jesus went on to say. I know my sheep. I know my sheep. These words speak to us of the intimate knowledge that Jesus has of his people. Now, shepherding at the time of Jesus in the Middle East was different from what it is today. At that time, the sheep were not fattened and then sold within a year or two. Instead, they were kept by their owners for a number of years because their value was in their wool and not the meat they provided when slaughtered. As such, the shepherds came to know their sheep well, and the sheep came to know their shepherd and to trust him in every situation. Psalm 23 tells us, when hungry, the shepherd would take the sheep to green pastures. When thirsty, the shepherd will take the sheep to still waters. When in danger, the shepherd was always there with his rod and staff to protect them. I know my sheep. Douglas Macmillan was born in the beautiful county of Argyll. I'm slightly biased, of course, but I do think it's one of the finest counties in Scotland. And Douglas was a shepherd for a good number of years before he entered the ministry within the Free Church. And often in his preaching, he would draw on his own experience with the sheep that he had loved and cared for. And in one sermon, he made this comment: the mark of a good shepherd is that he knows his sheep. And he went on, I have known men who knew their sheep so well that they could recognize them anywhere. One shepherd had sold 100 lambs at the market in Oban. And some 3 weeks later, when the shepherd was going along the Carse of Stirling, we've heard of it, he passed a field and he saw his lambs. And when he reported that back to friends at home, not one would dare ask, "How did you know they were yours?" They knew. The shepherd was so good that he would know his own, no matter where he came across them. Jesus knows you, and he knows me. And that is quite something, isn't it? Now, the other evening, I was going through some books in my study, and I came across a very small autobiography. It was written by the Reverend Angus McVicar, who had been minister of Southend Parish Church in Kintyre for almost 50 years. So I've got a bit to go to echo that record. Well, in his autobiography, it's very, very interesting. He writes about some of the ministers he knew, and one was Donald MacFarlane, who served in Morven before being called to the delightful island of Gia. One day, when in Morven, there was a small tea party at the manse, after which the company climbed the hill above Funery, from where there are the most magnificent views of Mull and Iona and Col and Tyree and the Coolans of Skye. And away in the ocean, away to the west, you can see the Outer Hebrides. Well, overawed by such a wonderful scene, the handwork of the Almighty, the minister took off his hat in adoration. And as he did so, a shepherd who was in the company was heard to say, "Not much grass here for the sheep." The minister and the others laughed. But it told them something about the shepherd. He was a good shepherd, for his thoughts were ever about his sheep and whether or not there was sufficient grazing for them. That is how it is with Jesus, our good shepherd. He knows what makes us tick. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our hopes and our fears, our joys and our sorrows. He knows what we need. And his eye is ever upon us. Now, for some, that will be unsettling. Who among us would want anyone else to know everything that there is to know about us? I certainly wouldn't like you to know everything about me. But when it comes to Jesus, our Good Shepherd, it's different. There's no need to be unsettled or to quiver. Jesus, knowing us as only he can, he knows what is best for us. And therefore he watches over us and he provides us not with what we want, but with what we need. Isn't that what the psalmist declared? "The Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. There is no but. I will not want. I know my sheep. But Jesus didn't leave it there. That was only one side of the coin. For he went on to say, and my sheep know me. They listen to my voice. Lloyd Ogilvie was once chaplain of the United States Senate and pastor of Hollywood Presbyterian Church. And he once told the story of being in the Middle East and watching a group of shepherds walk a large flock down a hillside one evening. As they got nearer, each man called to his sheep, and out of this huge mass, the sheep moved to follow the voice that they knew. They then led them into their pen, and with a fire near the doorway, settled down, literally sleeping in front of the opening. Isn't that quite something? They knew their own shepherd's voice. And someone else tells of a scene that they saw in a cave near Bethlehem. Two shepherds had sheltered their flocks in the cave during the night. The next morning, they were faced with the problem of sorting them out. One of the shepherds stood some distance away from the cave and gave a peculiar call, which his sheep knew, for soon his whole flock had run to him, leaving behind the other shepherd with his sheep, who refused to come to the first shepherd because they did not know him and did not recognize his voice. It's remarkable, isn't it? The sheep knew their shepherd, the one who fed them, guided them, and protected them. And they listened to his voice. On Friday evening, I had the pleasure of speaking to some of the senior boys at the Boys' Brigade. And I was saying to them that there is a difference between knowing about and knowing, actually knowing someone. For example, we know certain things about members of the royal family. We know certain things about politicians. We know certain things about sportsmen and women. But that doesn't mean we actually know them. We don't know what they're really like because we've not had the opportunity to spend time with them and to talk to them at length on a personal level. Jesus knows us, and he wants us not only to know about him. Anyone can know about Jesus. He wants us to know him as our good shepherd, and that we can do when we follow him. My dear friends, in this materialistic age, when so many people are like lost sheep, wandering the highways and the byways, with numerous voices craving to be heard, I put it to you, there is one voice above all others that needs to be heard. It is the voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the one who knows us and truly has our good at heart, and the one who has assured us that even when we go astray and wander off, he will not abandon us to the dangers and troubles that can confront us. Rather, he will come after us with his rod and staff to guide and protect us and to lead us home. This the psalmist knew from his own experience. Therefore, he could conclude, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. They listen to my voice. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Let's take a moment of quiet to reflect on how blessed we are to have Jesus as our Good Shepherd. Thank you, Jesus, for being our good shepherd, the guardian and protector of our souls. Amen. Following the benediction, we'll sing the doxology, which is found at hymn 810. You'll find the words on the reverse of the order of service. But before that, what hymn or other hymn could we conclude with but this one, hymn 462, 462, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. May the God of peace, who brought back from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, guard and watch over you, and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you, now and forevermore.